I have put down some lines. One line says church down the front, and the other line says worship. And I put those lines down because many of us in our Christian walk, we have drawn some lines in the sand. And some of us, we're at church, but we're not at worship. Yes. There's a difference between coming to church and coming to worship. So there are two lines here, and by the end of the message, we need to make a decision. Do I want church or do I want worship? But since we're intelligent people, I'm going to let you know that worship is where it is. When you come in all the way, that's where it is, because in worship is where you get into the spiritual realm, where you get into the spirit and the presence of God, and everything you need in the natural must come to the spiritual if you are a believer, if you are a Christian. But some of us are stuck on church. That's not bad, because at least you're almost there. You're in the door. You're in the door of the temple, but you're afraid to go to the Holy of Holies because somebody told you what you were bringing was not acceptable unto God. And I come to let you know, however you come, God can handle you. The problem is after we get here, if we stay the same. If you stay at church, you're going to stay the same. But when you get to worship, that's where things begin to change. That's when all the bondage falls off. That's when you feel the presence of God. That's where healing comes in. That's where deliverance comes in. That's where you're going to answer to your question about how I'm going to pay my bill and how I'm going to do this. And how I'm gonna, God might not tell you how, but might tell you, it's going to be all right, my son. It's going to be all right, my daughter. I got this thing. But see, you won't get that just coming to church. You got to come into worship. It's like being hungry going through the door of the restaurant. It's like window shopping. You ain't bought a thing. You just there. You haven't come in. A lot of us don't come into worship because we don't have time. And we think it's corny and crazy. And I'm scared what's going to happen to me. But do you know how much you're missing when you stay at church? Got to come into worship. If you look at Genesis chapter 4, look at verse 3, the first part of that scripture. And in the process of time, it came to pass. We want to talk about today. What that means is, and in the process of time, it came to pass. What it means is when it was time to give back to God. ... When it was time to give back to God. ... My Lord. Have you ever stopped to think about how God thinks and feels about how we present ourselves to Him for worship and how we bring our gifts and sacrifices to Him? What is our motive? What is our heart really saying? When we come to God in worship and praise and sacrifice, are we looking for people to look at us? Or do we really want God to be pleased with us? Are we doing things to be seen, or are we doing things for the glory of God? Is God really first in our lives? Is God really worthy of all the praise? Will we really bless the Lord at all times? And will His praise continue to be in our mouth? I tell you, no. It's just a cute verse that we say. Because for some of us, as soon as something goes wrong, you should hear it come out of our mouth. Do we really trust God? Do we really love God for who He is or what we can get from Him? Have you ever had, when you were in school, you had a friend and they had everything, you just hung around because they had everything? You ain't like them. Come on, somebody. Okay, maybe that just happened to me. You just hung around because they had stuff. We don't serve a stuffed God. They that worship Him. Oh, don't let me get ahead of myself. Do we come to church or do we come to worship? The song says, "Here I am to worship." And we sing that song, "Here I am to worship." And we wave our hands. And what are we really singing about? The word worship is defined by the dictionary like this: worthiness, respect, reverence paid to a divine being. I come to suggest to you today that a lot of things we do in the church and a lot of things we do for God are acts of worship. Oh, my God, my God. What does God mean in John 4:23 and 24 when the Bible says, "But the hour cometh, and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Oh, my God. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. And they that worship him, they that think he's worthy, they that have respect for God, they that have reverence for God, must worship him in spirit and in truth. A lot of times we just want to worship God on our terms. How do we present ourselves to God, and what do we present to God? What does Paul mean in Romans 12, 1 and 2? "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What is presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice? What is coming to church to worship? Is church a club? Is church where we come just to see each other, which is okay? But if that's all, is church where you come to collect your debts for folk that owe you? Is church where we come just to let the folk know, you know, "I'm still mad at you" from across the aisle? What is church? It is a place of worship. "I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord." When one comes to God through Jesus Christ, there must be a realization and acceptance of the fact that you now belong to God. We struggle with that. I come to let somebody know some of the struggles in our lives ain't got nothing to do with the devil. Has nothing to do with the external forces coming against you. It's the internal. It's you and I. It's some stuff in us that we need to hold in check, that we need to get rid of, because we've been coming up in here trying to worship God according to our own style and our own way, but we're in church and we're not in worship. We're playing games with ourselves. We're not in worship. Worship is where you totally lose yourself in him. Church is where you do what you want to do. And when the song go off, you go off. And when they stop shouting, you stop shouting. And you don't feel nothing, you don't feel nothing. That's what church is. Church is when they tell you to stand up, you stand up. They tell you to shout, you shout. That's what church is. Worship is, I'm a shout because God's been good to me. I don't need nobody to tell me when to shout because he's worthy of all the praise. That's what worship is. Worship is, guess what? If I can't make it to church, I'm going to shout for God in my hospital bed. Worship is, the Lord has been so good to me. Hallelujah. And he's worthy of all. Worship is when you stop, when you walk down the street and tears start falling down your eyes because God's been good to you. What? Worship is God being worthy of all the praise. I don't care where you are and what we're going through. But in the process of time, when it was time to give back to God, somebody had an issue with it. Somebody couldn't give back to God. We're going to deal with Cain and Abel. Because some of us ain't talking about, "I can't," and you should be able. C-A-I-N-T, I can't, I can't. And you should be able. It's all about stewardship. I need to let somebody know, if God is rich and everything, God don't need nothing. You know he's not trying to get your money and not trying to get your belongings. Well, God is trying to get your obedience and your attention. If God's already rich, then what does he need your money for? It's not about him getting rich off you. It's about obedience unto God. It's about a heart relationship with God.
Oh, my, my. If God requires that we come and bring him a sacrifice, if God's already rich, what does he want us to bring him a sacrifice for? It's about relationship. It's about obedience. It's about trusting him. It's about the God that said, guess what? I gave you everything, so I'm asking for a portion back. God said, if I gave you 100 cups of water, if you can't quit your thirst off 90 cups and give me 10 cups, something wrong with you. God's trying to let somebody know, if I gave you $100 and you can't buy with 90, you can't buy with 100. That's all God's trying to say. God said, I don't need your 10%. I want you to be in relationship with me. I want you to trust me so that you know that when I take your 10% and I build my kingdom, I'm going to bless your 90. I'm going to bless, I'm going to make it 30, 60, and 100. Woo-wee. And worship means that God is worthy of the praise. God is not an event God. Sometimes someone's got to wait for an event before we come and think about God. Oh, my, my, my. Glory be to God. See, worship. Some folks still at the church line. They're right there playing church. Hallelujah. They're looking for stuff from God. Lollipop God. Lollipop God. Lollipop God. Or when we get scared, we come running in. No, we ought to have an attitude of worship. I don't care what's going on. Attitude of worship in our lives. Hallelujah. Attitude of God, I give you the praise. That's what Psalm 34:1 is talking about. I will bless the Lord at all times. That's what that scripture is talking about. Anytime I'll bless the Lord at all times, Lord, everything's all right, and my bills are paid, my husband acting right, my wife acting right, and my kids acting right, and I ain't getting no layoff. That's not what that scripture's about. Because God said, I'm greater than all that nonsense that keeps you away from me, that keeps you from worshiping me. God said, come to me first. Matter of fact, keep your stuff and come to me first. I want you to present yourself as a living sacrifice unto me. And then you won't have a problem giving me what I ask of you. Not just your money. How about your gift? How about ourselves? How about the stuff that we need God to work on and work through in our lives? How about the stuff we keep on blaming other folks for? You, come on now. Come on now. We're good at that. You say, well, if such and such hadn't done such and such. God said, come on, when you come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. And he said, all that stuff that's bugging you, got you all tied down, all these folks you blaming for stuff, if you're not moving anywhere, stop the blame game and get rid of that stuff. Come on. If you want to worship me, that's why he says the road to heaven is narrow. And the road to destruction is broad. The road to heaven is narrow, so when we come in with all our buckets of envy and strife and hypocrite and all, you can't get through that gate with all that junk on you. You can't even get the Holy Holy with all that junk on you. Check yourself out. Why are you really in church? Why are you always standing up? Why did you really get into leadership? You want to be seen, don't you? You ain't come to worship him. You didn't really come to worship him. You can't be seen in the house. They don't recognize you on the job, so you come to church. That's not worship. That's church stuff. That's that line right there. But once you cross that church line, you get up to worship. It's different. When you get in the presence of God, God begins to speak different to you. Things are different. You don't care about nobody. You don't care if they like your dress or not. You don't care if they like your suit or not. You came to worship the Lord. You don't care. Matter of fact, you don't like what I got. I don't want you to put out your nice little credit card, you little rich thing you. And when you go buy me something. I'm right up here. I'm in worship. God is saying thus today that once you come to me, everything you are and everything you're ever going to be going to belong to me. And God said, I make the rules now. But it's a love relationship. God has an unconditional love relationship. And he said, come on, you don't have to be afraid of me. You gave yourself to that man. You gave yourself to that woman. And they just messed all over you. And here I am. I'm willing. I'm able. I sent my only begotten son. And you can't even trust me. Don't judge me according to what you've been through. Judge me according to my word. I'm not the one. Oh, come on. I'm talking about worship. Don't judge me by what you're going through. Judge me according to my word. I told you not to marry him. I told you not to marry her. I told you not to go down to that house. I told you not to get involved in that. But you decided to disobey me. And disobedience always causes some problems. And now you mad with me because you come to church and you see I'm blessed. You and folks that come in the body of Christ, they mad with you because you don't have the same problem they got. Yeah. You talking about God blessing you, and they mad. But see, they still in church. They never came to worship. They still playing games. They still running down to the altar crying for the same thing every week. What the? No, come on. One day God going to say, is it God going to say, I got that when you get into worship? When you get into the Holy of Holies, he'll speak to you like, as long as you stay all around there, playing around on the circumference of blessings. From God's point of view, it's an unconditional relationship. And what God says, no matter what you do, I'll always give you another chance if you just come and repent. So we're going to mess up. I wish that somebody would tell the truth today. We are not perfect. We mess up. We think wrong. We say the wrong. We don't do everything wrong, but we mess up sometimes. We ought to be mature enough in our life, not just in Christ, to understand that sometimes we mess up. Sometimes the mess that we get in, sometimes the thoughts that we have, ain't nobody do nothing to you. That's you. Sitting at home, not doing nothing, counting your hurts and counting your this and counting your that. And you can use all that time and say, God, I come to worship you. I'm not going to spend all that energy talking about this one did this and this one did that. I'm going to take that energy and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I don't understand why they don't like me. I don't understand why they don't understand me. But all I know that you saved me and you called me. Stop messing up on Kleenex. If you struggle with the fact that you and all that you possess belongs to God, you're headed for a possible surprise revelation about what's really going on in your life. I come to let somebody know today, your life is screwed up not because God doesn't love you. It's screwed up because we are disobedient and because we refuse to come into worship.
Amen.
I know we don't want to hear that, but, you know, maybe you'll shout off the end of it. As we look at our scripture for today in Genesis 4, let us consider, number one, what Cain sacrificed to God. What Cain sacrificed to God. Number two, what Abel sacrificed to God. Number one, what Cain sacrificed to God. Number two, what Abel sacrificed to God. And number three, God's response to their sacrifices.
And this is after Adam and Eve sinned. Sin messed up a lot. After they sinned, the whole thing was messed up. That's how you and I got messed up. And you could dress up your mess up, or we could bring it to the Lord. You could dress up your mess up, or we could bring it to the Lord, amen, and get that thing right. But in first one, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. A keeper of the sheep and a tiller of the ground. God don't care where you work. Oh my God. He don't care if you're the teacher or the janitor. He's looking at the heart. God is no respecter of persons. No respecter of persons. And look at verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, the scripture is not real specific as to why God did not like what Cain brought. But when I read this thing, it said Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. He just brought some fruit of the ground. Anybody know who the first fruits belong to? Oh, my God. And somebody said, Pastor, I don't get the first fruits because Uncle Sam does. You see your check. Now, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground to offer to the Lord. Just of the fruit. It's like you and I. We just come to church. We ain't really come to worship. We just bring anything up in there. Anything. Any kind of attitude. Anything. Anything. Halfway sing the song. Halfway preach the, you know, preach the sermon. Just halfway doing stuff. Ain't really into it. Okay. All right. Let me just bring something to God. At least I'm going to church. At least I'm better than the one that didn't come to church. At least I went to church. You ever go home and tell somebody, at least I went to church? You ain't getting nothing out of it. You can't tell nothing about preaching, nothing. You've been there talking the whole time, sleep, everything. You ain't getting nothing out of it. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and offering to the Lord. But look at verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of what? Now, if Cain and Abel were in the same Sunday school class, what was it that Cain didn't get out of the class?
What was it that Cain didn't understand? You know what? Cain understood, but Cain didn't care. There's some folk in the body of Christ, they don't care what they throw up to God. They just bring stuff. And they think God's going to set their stuff up somewhere that says, and God is love, but God ain't no fool. Because God's looking at your heart. Oh, glory be to God. Not only did Abel bring the first of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had what? Unto Abel and to his offering. Which means somewhere in the process of the sacrificial system during that time, there must have been the indication that somebody's offering was accepted and somebody else's was not. There's a big discussion about the sacrificial system of that time. And one commentary said, I don't know how it came about, but evidently God accepted one and rejected the other. So it must have been all right with God. So when you look at that thing, maybe it was like in the temple, fire came down. And took Abel's offering. And maybe the fire didn't take Cain's offering. But unto Cain, look at verse 5. And to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Cain got mad with God. Abel gave God what God wanted. Cain gave God what he wanted. When we come to church sometimes, we give God what we want. And every time an Abel or Abelite comes up, or Abeless comes up, to give what God wants, we get an attitude, oh, look at him. Oh, look at her. Why they got to go all the way up to the altar? Because that's where the worship is. They go all up in the Holy of Holies. They already know that they got exactly what God would have of them. But Cain got mad at Abel. My God. They were brothers, you know. But when you get mad sometimes, you hurt something. You don't care if they're relative or not. Some folks get that mad, they lose it. You got more than an anger problem. You got a whole lot of problems. But that stuff's internal. That has nothing to do with Abel. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Look at verse 7. God always gives us a chance. There's grace right here in verse 7. If thou doest what? If you do what you're supposed to do. Anybody ever tell their children that? You got two kids and one of them always getting their butt beat. And why you don't beat Johnny? Because Johnny did what I told Johnny to do. But you didn't. And all God is saying, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If you get out of your flesh, shall you not be accepted? If you stop playing church and come on in to worship, will you not be accepted? If you start giving me what you want and giving me what I ask for, will you not be accepted? And you know what? You know, really should have gotten mad. God should have gotten mad. You know why? Because everything you got came from him. Who gave Cain the fruit? Who gave Abel the first things of the flock and the fat thereof? God said, I gave you stewardship over stuff, and now you're going to turn around and just get it. How arrogant and disobedient is that? God gave you that good job. He gave you stewardship over your life. Stewardship over everything that he's given you. And all God said, just give me a portion back. And we... He told Cain, you got a lot of nerve. What you mad about? You was unemployed till I made you a tiller of the ground, fool. What's wrong with you? If thou doest well. But look what he says. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be sin's desire, and sin shall rule over you. But he told him, you know, you can deal with this thing. You can get rid of this sin. And that word sin at the door means crouching as an ancient Babylonian term. You describe a demon lurking behind the door waiting to jump on you. And he's jumping on you because you're in church and you're not in worship. He's jumping on you because you have opened up your heart to the devil and not to God. Because there's a problem with what you brought. But the problem is not, it's the problem is with your heart. God looks at your heart. You know what? If your heart's right, God will accept your fruit.
Let me move on. This is just crazy. If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. And thou, you can rule over sin if you get yourself together. Some of the stuff going on in our lives, we can get over that if we would just get ourselves together. Glory be to God. If we just stop blaming folk for stuff and just come on and get ourselves together. If we get ourselves together and say yes to your will and yes to your way. Look at verse 8. Look what Cain did. Because Cain can't fight God. He can't beat God. Look what he did in verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him.
How did it get to that? God did not accept Cain's offering. He accepted Abel's offering. Instead of Cain being having enough within himself to say, let me get myself together, he said, well, guess what? I'm going to kill Abel. I'm jealous. Well, maybe if I knock Abel off, and God will accept whatever I give him. Because when you are not anchored with the Lord, you think some strange thoughts. We do some strange stuff when you're not anchored in. And he told Abel, said, come on, man, meet me out in the field tonight, man. We got a little talk. And then he rose up against Abel's brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? See, when it was time to give back to God, somebody had a problem. When it's time to give to God of our time, talents, and treasures, somebody got a problem. But the same one with the problem wants to be accepted and wants the blessings of God. But that person is hanging out at the church and not hanging out in worship. So God said to Cain, where is it? Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. He's saying, Cain, you were a tiller of the ground. And now because you slew Abel and his blood, and the ground has received his blood, and now you were a tiller of the ground, and now the ground won't produce for you.
God is trying to show us today that when you get mad and upset over somebody else and you go messing with them, then you're going to mess around and mess up your blessing. Because before this happened, before he slew Abel, he had a chance to repent. You know, before we mess up, before we go messing with somebody, don't you know you got a chance to repent? Before we go off in a jealous rage and go kill somebody, we got a chance to repent. He said, now you curse from the earth, which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, y'all have to help me with this, because never once did I see it, but Cain said, I'm sorry, God. He said, my punishment. That's cold hearted. That's cold. Come on, somebody. Anybody hear that cold hearted? My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Like, God, you, why you do that, God? You drove me. Not the fact I killed my brother. Not the fact that all I had to do was bring you what you wanted. No, I'm stubborn. I'm disobedient. I'm going to do it my way. I'm a Burger King kind of Christian. I'm going to have it my way. Oh, he said, you are pushing me away from the face of the earth and from the face, your face shall be heat. What he's saying is, the ground won't work for me and you don't want to see me no more either. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. This shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Because he's going to be wearing that guilt all over. Never once in the scriptures did it say that I ain't never seen him go back to his mother and father. Hey, Abel gone. I kill Abel. Because when you lie, when you live a lie, you ain't going to tell the truth. Come on, somebody.
That's why God said, I hate lies. In Revelation, a liar shall not get into the kingdom of God when he comes back.
So I hate lies. Folks, they didn't lie for nothing. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, did you see grace again? Whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any find in him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Nod means wandering. I come to let somebody know today when it's time to give back to God, give God what he requires of you. Unless you get sentenced to the land of Nod, you'll be wandering around all in life. You won't be blessed. You won't know what's going on. You won't be able to make ends meet. You won't know anything that's going on. But God is trying to let you know today, just give me what I want. I don't care if you are an animal, you take care of animals, and I don't care if you till the ground. I'm not looking at it like that. I'm no respecter of person. I'm looking at your heart, and your heart's not right.
God said, you can fool the folk, but you can't fool me. Psalm 139 said, I want what I want. And why? How can God say that? Because I want what I want because I gave you what I want, because I'm the one that gave you everything you got anyway. Therefore, I want what I want. I'm the one that gave you the gift. I want you to use the gift for my glory. I want what I want. You gave yourself to me, and I'm giving back to you. I put into you. I blew into you the breath of life. I put my DNA in you. And I'm just trying to get back out of you what I put in you. And when you give me back, I'm still going to bless you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to embrace you. I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to renew your mind. I'm going to walk with you every step of the way. I'm the one going to be there in that midnight hour when you cry and you don't understand them. I'm going to be the friend that's sticking closer than a brother. But the problem in the body of Christ, we don't want to hear this kind of preaching because it requires that we do something. It requires that we do a self-examination. And that's on a daily basis. Because every now and then we all fall off the wagon. You could be doing good and all of a sudden, boop, something happens. But you got to know how to get back up off that thing and say, hey, God. Here I am, Lord. I repent. Worshiping God is serious. And man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God actually gives to us, or allows us to get so we can give. And give back to him. And build his kingdom on earth and be a blessing to others. There is no one that can outgive God. God always gives his best. But see, you got to take a trip from church into worship. And the reason why I put these lines down here, because it's not that far. You don't have to go that far. The enemy think you got a far way. It's not that far. Look at that. Here's church right here. If I take a leap of faith, I'm in worship. It's easy to stay here because I stay here. I ain't got to come to Bible study, Sunday school. I ain't got to give no tithes and all. I do what I want to do. I come to church when I want to come. I walk out when I want to walk out. I ain't got to read no scripture. I'm just going to have to be me. They ought to be glad to see me. No way. That's church talk. That's church talk. But when you get serious to get into worship, God, you did, hey, Lord, woo, in his presence is the fullness. When you get up here and say, boy, what took me so long? All you got to do is take a leap of God. And you know when you trust God when everything else fails? You know when you trust God? When mom and dad ain't got no more money. That's when you trust God. You trust God when all your friends say no. That's when you trust. Sometimes God will move, but he won't force you because he wants it to be, you know, of your will. That's why in the book of Genesis, that's why God never legislated this thing called love. You ain't got to love me. I mean, you're crazy if you don't, but you ain't got to love me. God said, I want you to love me because you want to love me. You know what? The accident when you call folks, don't force them to come to church. Because when they get to worship, they'll be here every day. Calling you, how come the church ain't open? Oh, glory! When you begin to understand who God is and how great he is and what he can do in your life, that God is no respecter of person, we'll stop playing church and we'll get into worship. Because when it came time to give back to God, Cain had some issues. Did he resolve his issues? No, he took it out on Abel. How many people take stuff out on the spiritual leaders? I left that church. That pastor get on my nerves. People in the church become your evils. I was doing all right in that church, but this is late. Woo! There's something wrong with you. Why are you going to let that lady mess you up? You in a place where God sent you, ordained you to be, and you getting blessed, you're going to let somebody mess. You got three different sections in here. What you do is you come later, find out where he or she is sitting, and you sit on the other side. Until God work it out. If they sitting up here, you sit way in the back on the other side somewhere. Where your brother Dennis at? Put some sunglasses on. I don't mind. Because you ain't come for them to see you no way. You want God to see. Oh, I wish I had a witness that did. And when God rejects what you bring him, why are you getting mad at the church? Why are you getting mad at everybody else? And God said, I gave you what I needed. Just like you giving your child $20, go to the store and buy me so they come back with what they want. You'd be like, I gave you $20. And you wouldn't get what I told you to get. Jackie, don't you be like, where my change? And they'd be like, I ain't got no change. No. There's going to be a change up in the end of the day. But the greatest giver is God. God is the greatest giver. God gave his best to you and for me. He gave Jesus Christ. At first it started out with the lambs and the bullocks and the heifers and all that stuff. But that was a temporary covering for a future reality. God, it got to a point where God said, look here, it's time for me to redeem mankind. And God said, come here, Jesus. If I go down, they can't handle me. My glory is too great. So do me a favor. Take your robe of deity and put it in the closet. I'm going to make you a robe of flesh. And after I put you in flesh, what I'm going to do, I'm going to put you through Mary. To go down, and I'm going to call Mary up. Her cell phone's off, but I'm going to send Gabriel. Gabriel goes down and says, hey, Mary. Mary said, what's up, Gabe? So she really said, what the heck is this? But I messed it up. I got to make it relevant. So you're going to be with child. Hey, Gabriel, did you tell Joe? This is a small neighborhood. And I was able to keep my virginity. And, I'm respected in the hood, Did you by any chance stop by Joe's house? Oh, because, see, Joe wasn't living with her. Oh, excuse me. They weren't married yet. Oh, that's not in this sermon. Let me get back. Gabriel, yeah, Gabriel with the marriage. Look at Mary. You're going to be with child. And she said, how? How's it going to be? Me and Joey ain't married yet. How's it going to be? He said, the Holy Ghost. Don't you know that when you get in worship, the Holy Ghost will come upon you and he will impregnate you with the things of God, with the things he wants you to do? You don't need nobody else. You don't need pastor, cope. When you come to worship, it's just you. You don't need us around. Nah. So Mary went on and birthed Jesus. Jesus grew up and went to the cross. That's the beautiful thing about it, because God said, I'm going to give you my best, and my best is going to do whatever he needs to do to bring you back to me. I don't care. Whatever you got to go through, you can slap them, spit on them, beat them. You can stab them with a knife. You can kick them. You can get your gang to come after them, whatever you want to do. You can stomp him, whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. Because he said he would go and redeem all of you all back. I'm giving you my best. So, Cain, what is your problem? Because I gave you what I wanted you to give me back. And all God is saying to the church today, I gave you Jesus. Give me a little Jesus back, will you? What do you mean, give me a little Jesus back? Give me a little praise. Give me a little honor. Give me a little glory. Give me a little worship. Give me a little reverence. Why folk got to pump it out of you? Why we got to pull teeth when we get... Oh, I know why. Because you pull teeth when you're in church. But when they get to worship, oh, glory, you ain't got... We were headed toward worship this morning. So when it comes time to give back to God, what will you bring? Let us all stand. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.